How's your day so far? You just been relaxing or what?
Just a little cup of Joe, and that's about it. I have a customer, not a customer, sign call. Call me and they're like, can we see the house? And so are you pre-approved? And Are you working with other realtors? I can see it tomorrow at 5.
That's all they said.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, okay, great. But like, have you been pre-approved? And are you working with any other realtors? Can I come see it tomorrow?
No.
I'm like, are you not reading the emails I'm sending you? Like,
yeah, they just like don't. They don't value.
Either that, or they are working with another realtor and they just want someone to show them the house because their agent's on holidays. So they're just like, I'll just bug the listing agent. This is a fair point for anyone listening. Like, just be straight up about it. Just say, hey, yeah, I have an agent, but he's on holidays and I really want to see the house. Then I'm happy to show it. But it's just like when you start doing this kind of stuff and it's sketchy, you know, like I don't want to drive all the way across the city for a showing for someone. I don't know if they can even afford this house and could be like, oh yeah, I'm already working with another agent. Okay, cool. Cause I might just hand it off to, like, we have agents who are chomping at the bit, would love to get some experience, some newer agents. Like, these are perfect sign calls for that kind of stuff.
It's interesting. And I find too, especially around the holiday season here, Christmas and New Year's, like this week between, it seems like a lot of the world shuts down, slows down, right? A lot of people are on holidays. And sometimes I think that they forget that, you know, realtors and mortgage brokers and appraisers and lawyers have their own personal lives and their own families and their own gatherings and things they want to do. Right. So,
it's tough. I mean, and over the years since I've started in real estate, every Christmas has gotten a little more firm with just like, leave me alone, not leave me alone, but just like you said, you know, I have a big family, you know, between my wife's side and my side. And, you know, my parents are split. So there's two different sides of the family there. So
whatever, but like one of my first meetings with a realtor was when I asked him, like, hey, how have you done so well in your career? You know, he talked about, and how do you differentiate between work time and family time? And he'd said, yeah, you know, on every first client meeting, I show them a picture of my family and I say, look, this is my family. They're very important to me. Just like I know yours are important to you. So there's going to be some times during the week that I'm going to be offline with my family, as I hope you can understand that. And it's a nice way to start the relationship, right? So,
yeah, no, and that's a great way of doing it. And yeah, just especially putting that visual in front of people, it's like, these are my kids. Like, I am a dad, I am a father, I'm a husband, I have people that I need to be with, you know, and we're not open 24/7. Like, I try to stick to business hours as much as I can in this business. That's really challenging to do because business hours are whenever your clients are available. You know, I can't tell you how many backyard barbecues and weekend, you know, things that I have missed out on because my clients can only see houses on evenings and weekends.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I'm sitting at home on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, just feet up on the couch, and it's like, oh, you bum, like, why aren't you doing anything?
No, but I know.
It's like, no, it's because I've been going since Thursday nonstop, and it's Tuesday now, and I need a day to relax. So the hours are all over the place for sure. But it's...
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, like this one example with the pre-approval is people get really offended sometimes when we say, you know, like, have you been pre-approved yet? And a lot of times, like, agents will ask that question when you are what we call a sign call, meaning that we don't have any relationship with you. We've never met you before and you've seen one of our listings and you just decide to call the number or email us off of that listing on realtor.ca and say, hey, you know, I want to see this house. That's a sign call. And when we get a sign call, for us to, I used to just drop everything. Like, yeah, sure, I'll be there in 2 minutes. And I'd rush over there. And like 8 times out of 10, it's a waste of time. They, you know, they just want to see the house. They're a neighbor. They're somebody who's either been working with somebody and they've just sort of decided that, you know, their agent's too busy and they're just going to bug the listing agent. So now I pre-qualify them a little bit before I rush over.
And even aside from just your time, I've had clients who were looking at, like, they wanted to buy like a $2 million home no word of a lie, or 1.8 or something.
Yeah.
And they were looking at all these homes at 1.8, driving around every weekend with their realtor. And finally, the realtor said, hey, like, if you're going to write an offer, you should talk to, you know, Paul, get pre-approved. Well, the max I could pre-approve them for was $1 million, not 1.8. And they had no idea. Like, they just figured, you know, I have a good job. My partner's got a good job. We got a decent down payment once we sell our place. 1.8, we want that house. And it's like, when then I showed them, here's where the mortgage payments would be at 1.8 if you could get approved, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And here's the mortgage payments at $1 million. And they're like, whoa, even at $1 million, it wasn't what they wanted. So it saved, they just adjusted their purchasing lens. And now they're looking more for 750.
Yeah.
But they had started at 1.6 or 1.8 or whatever it was.
See, and that is absolutely gospel right there. And that's exactly one of the reasons why a realtor will ask you, have you been pre-approved? Because a lot of times people come out thinking, oh yeah, I'm pre-approved. Like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I've got good credit. I've got a job. And like, and that's all great. And like, when we ask if you're pre-approved, that has nothing to do with like, we're worried that you can't get financing or anything.
No. And the number one misconception is that a lot of people, more and more I'm finding when you ask them that question, or they're like, yeah, we're good. I've got $100,000 that we can use. And I'm like, that's amazing. You've saved up a lot of money. That's really good. But now when you have a purchase price of 900 grand, let's just say you put all that 100,000 down and you have money set aside for closing costs as well. Like, you know, you got that, you got the 100,000 down, but now you need to get a mortgage of 700 grand. Like if we said the purchase price was 800, you know, you need a mortgage of 700,000. Well, rough rule of thumb, if you catch me in the elevator, you can get a mortgage of 3.75 times your usable income, 3.75. So yeah. To buy that house for 800 grand, you know, they got to make 200 grand combined, 215.
Yeah.
So and even if you have 100 grand, yeah.
That's a lot of money. And like in Manitoba anyways, I mean, like you need you and your partner to both be clearing 100K every year, which is the case for some, but not for all. And that's the thing. So when you are looking, and if you run into a realtor and they ask you if you've been pre-approved, this is all we're wondering, is we just want to make sure that you've started the process properly and that you're shopping in the right price range. Because it's not just my time as a real estate agent, like it's my clients too. So they're the ones living in the house. You want to see it. They have to leave. It's Friday around Christmas time for them as well. You know, maybe they want to be sitting, having family come over or whatever, and you are asking them to leave their house, which is not a problem. If you're somebody who can legitimately afford that house and you're looking to purchase a home, that's fine. I'm happy to show it. They're happy to leave.
No, that's good. It's good. It's awesome. And that's what I'm here. And I love to walk clients through the pre-approval process. And I know we'll jump into that more in the new year in season two. But it's very important, because time and time again, I get clients who have been online pre-approved with their big bank or pre-approved by other mortgage brokers. And even at branch level, where when they come to me, it's a different number. So any 10 of 10 people are going to give you an approximately, it should be close. Like the pre-approval amount should be very close, but I'll see 10 different numbers, like, because not everyone does their job the same way.
Yeah.
So pick an expert, pick someone you trust, pick someone who's got almost 200 five-star reviews on Google. Just kidding. but pick someone you trust, right? Because that's who you're putting your faith in during that transaction. And I'll walk me or another broker will walk you through the process, because time and time again, the number one thing that comes up is we want to buy a home, but we already own our home. How do we move in and sell, and how does that all work? And that's the number one like thing that I discuss daily.
Nice.
Anyway, we digress.
As per usual.
yeah. What do you want to talk about today, man?
Yeah, episode 9. It's one of the last days of 2023. And anyone who's been following the show, there are a few of you, and has noticed that we've been labeling these episodes as season 1, episode whatever. I'm thinking we head into season 2 into 2024. I don't know if a season is going to be like a full year or 6 months or number of episodes. I don't know, but I think I wanted to talk about the show for a few minutes and just say that it's weird, because we had this little podcast baby idea in my brain, and now it's a living, breathing thing. And much like Real Kids, it's sort of taken on a different sort of shape than originally planned, but in a really good way. We've talked a lot about this kind of stuff off the air, and I think that going into 2024, the show is going to be a really good vessel for us to educate a lot of people and bring tremendous value for folks who are looking at entering the market or are already in the market, or just have that general passion for real estate and kind of want to know what it is that goes on behind the scenes. And that was kind of always the underlying main theme of the show, was what goes on behind the scenes, right? That's what we wanted to bring forward to people when they listened, is they go away from it going, oh, maybe it's not that easy to be a mortgage broker or a realtor or work in that industry that is very glamorized and looks so shiny in the social media and television world. So yeah, I mean, I was supposed to have a bunch of stats prepared and I don't, but I did look at them yesterday. It's been exciting to see the audience grow. Like literally with every episode we put out, our audience has grown. Obviously having the show available for people to listen to in a variety of places helps out a lot too. So thank you to everyone who's jumped on and watched the show. And I think going into 2024, we're going to be pushing the show even further. And I think we're going to be looking at bringing on guests on a regular basis, whether that be like other realtors, other mortgage brokers, because our opinions are fantastic, but they're not always, you know, it's always good to bring somebody else in, like a third party. And there's just other people in the industry who, you know, we were talking yesterday, you know, I see a lot as an agent day to day, but there are other agents who do far more business than me. Plus there's other people like my broker who has, I'm sure, enough stories to fill an entire season of this thing. So we're going to look to have other folks join us on the show and bring us their perspectives and some of their unique entertainment. I think that'll bring a lot of value.
Oh, it's exciting. And I, you know, your vision here and just seeing it grow, and it's cool having people ask questions, or have people, you know, approach me at, you know, different work functions who have listened to our pod. And, you know, it's a leap of faith too, right? Like you're putting yourself out there, you're talking, you're sharing your ideas, you're sharing your expertise, and there's people in each industry that are going to see it differently than Tyler sees it or than I see it. So, you know, it's not easy anytime you share anything, but it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, trying to find that balance between nerding out and talking mortgage advice for 45 minutes straight. Like, you know, for me, it's interesting, but I know that not everyone wants to hear all the details. So finding that balance between, you know, the happy, funny kind of like banter that like I love, like just basically when Tyler and I are doing this, we're just having fun. Right. And then we throw in our passion, which is real estate. And so, but yeah, trying to tighten up answers or trying to think of it from the lens of a listener. That's kind of been the challenge, like learning. So hopefully it just gets better and better.
Yeah, I know. And you're bang on there, where this has been a weekly sort of thing. That's been like a bit of a highlight of the week. It's like, oh, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like, ah, oh, man, record that stupid podcast.
No, it's like I could have been watching a Christmas movie and like having coffee upstairs, not talking about mortgages, but I was excited. Like, this is not work. This is what we love to do. So yeah,
it's a good chance to connect. You know. And I'll say, like, I've learned a ton from you so far. Just in, like, it's wild. Now I feel, you know, which says to our listeners too, if you listen to all the episodes, you'll learn a ton as well. You know, when I go on showings now and questions around financing come up, I'm definitely way more prepared to answer them. And I actually had some clients say to me, like, wow, we've never had a realtor tell us about the first time home buyers incentive, or we've never had a realtor tell us, you know, the fact that down payments change based on the amount that you're purchasing. So little things like that. It's always good to be learning. You know, we never know everything. So this has been a good chance for me to increase my knowledge and better serve my clients. So it's a win-win.
Food for thought as well, because it is December, what is it, 29th, Ty?
That is correct, 29th.
This week, for those people, you know, we're a year away from this year, from this time of year. So next year, next Christmas, 2024, if you're thinking of buying, try it. It's a nightmare to buy the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve. That's all I want to start with. I have a few files right now that I'm working on.
Yeah.
That So I would just be careful, like during the week leading up to Christmas and the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve, a lot of lawyers' offices are closes. It's tough to book an appraisal. It's tough to get a lender to work on a file quickly because typically they're running a skeleton staff, right? So someone who normally handles, you know, I don't know, 10 files a day, 10 new purchases, now they're covering for the three other brokers or three other lenders at that institution as well. So it's just challenging, and it's tough to get things done quick and tough to get answers quick. So just to save yourself stress, I typically try and tell clients, try not to buy between like December 22nd and January 2nd, like those 10 days. It'll just save you a lot of stress if you can manage buying outside of that 10-day window. Any other day during the year, you're good to go.
Yeah, I know for sure. And it's definitely worth mentioning, like I told all my clients that, hey, you know, I'm around, I'm not really going anywhere for Christmas, you know, we're just going to be kind of at the house sort of thing. And that's great that I'm here, but I don't do everything. Like I need your lender. Yeah, I know, right? Shocker. I need your lender. I need your lawyer. I need, you know, like all kinds of different people need to come together.
Appraiser.
Yep, exactly. All those folks got to come together to get everything done. And
yep.
Just because I'm here doesn't mean that they're all here. So definitely that week is beneficial to avoid.
Well, and I even said the same thing. I said, look, guys, like you're my dedicated clients. I will work every day. But like Tyler said, I can't manage people outside of my sphere. So for instance, people try to take out a deposit check or liquidate their TFSA or their RSPs like today. Good luck. Good luck getting it done like today. You know, if you need your deposit check today. So just something that I've always kind of cautioned, and but we'll get it done. Like I'm still gonna get it done. It just might take till like the very end of you know, the financing deadline. So
well, and that's the other little note too, is like if you're writing offers during this week, you know, and you've always been using a 48-hour financing turnaround, and you're writing an offer during this week, don't use the 48 hours. Give yourself a little more time. And
yep.
Good chance that the listing agent, I mean, unless you're in a bidding war, which that would be unfortunate, but you know, the good chance the listing agent will understand that, hey, it's Christmas time and everyone's away, and you know, you might need an extra day or two for your financing condition because no one's around. Exactly. Everyone's sitting with their fams, you know. It's weird. Real estate's the only industry where we're expected to be working 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
we always use the joke of like, hey, call your bank or call your lawyer on Saturday at 2 p.m. Are they going to answer you? No, it's funny because
I'm like, we talked about in previous episodes, I'm moving in a couple weeks here, a month or whatever, and I'm just doing some final mortgage updates to my own file. And of course, these updates are happening this week, and I'm like, oh, like good things, right? Like I'm liquidating different assets, or we did well on selling our homes. So now I'm updating the down payment and all this stuff. But case in point, and Courtney's gonna sue me if she listens to this, but case in point, my wife, classic, what I have to go through every day. I say, hey, I need your most recent pay stub if you can send me that. Well, she texts it to me, and it's blurry. And for those of you that might not. So when someone texts you a picture, in order to like use it, I have to then like either text it to my Mac, like, or whatever, like I can open it from my Mac, figure out how to drag it into Adobe, turn it to a PDF, swivel it, it's blurry, expand it, enlarge, like this is what we do, right? And again, I'm not complaining, but case in point, my own wife on Boxing Day sends me a pay stub over text, blurry, and it was 2 months old. So
you're like, look,
I was lady. Like, look, Cardi, I'm like, this is not the kind of file I'm trying to work on Boxing Day. So anyways, just funny. So
that's good. Hilarious. That's yeah, true that's... though. I mean, like when you text stuff, it doesn't always come through. It's a whole other thing. But
well, no, and even just like in my industry for compliance, we need to have everything over email. So, you know, the tough thing is like I'll be at a Jets game, it'll be 10 p.m. on a Saturday. And someone will text me, not anymore, because I'm pretty clear with my communication preferences and the rules. But I'll just say, like, they'll text me at 10 o'clock, like in my first year, it'd be like 10 o'clock Jets game. And they'd be like, hey, actually, can we increase our down payment by $730? Right. Yeah. And I had a Jets game on Saturday night. And I'm like, sounds good. We'll do it. Well, what I used to do then is like email myself that reminder But there's times when it pops up on your Apple Watch when you're on the treadmill at, you know, 5 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so email's really good for flagging, for following up, to show the trail 6 months down the road when maybe someone is like confused. They said, oh, Paul, we want to have it for whatever that number was, 700 less. It's like, oh, no, here's the email. Like you said, this is what you wanted. Like, I can still make a change, right? So email yeah. versus text. Email has to be used for us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
But yeah, anything else you want to chat about? I mean, I know this is kind of a bit of like a rambling just catch up, but
yeah, it's been a bit of a random episode. We've touched on a lot of different things, but I'm okay with it. Heading into like season two or the beginning, like we got spring coming up, and spring always shows up really fast. So I think like we're not going to get into it today, but maybe we'll give the listeners a bit of a preview as to what's coming and what we're going to do here over the next little while. And I think between you and I and the next month or so, we're gonna fire off a bit of a masterclass for the spring market. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, the spring market does not start in April. The real estate spring market starts much sooner than that. I'm always like, it's like early March, you know, even February, it can get going. There's two different types of people in the spring market. There are those who have been waiting all year for more inventory, or if they're buying, and like more buyers if they're selling. And it's the people that are, they're ready to go. They're fired up. They're ready to put pedal to the metal ASAP. And then there's the other ones who, oh, we're just waiting for spring. And they kind of still at the very beginning phase. The other folks, they kind of missed the boat in the fall and decided not to do anything in the winter, and they're waiting for spring. The other buyers are, spring's going to get here, and they're going to start calling around going, oh, I think we want to buy a house now. And they just add to the chaos. I love both types.
Yeah.
But the thing that happens is the folks that have been waiting since the fall, they're ready to go. And like typically they will hit the ground running late February, early March. And what happens is that heats the market up a lot sooner. So what I want to do is I want to do a bit of a masterclass for spring sellers and spring buyers. Love in it. Which case we're going to talk a little bit about 5 kind of different things for sellers, 5 different things for buyers. We're going to maybe stretch this out over a couple episodes just because there's a lot to kind of go through, so that if you're somebody who's looking to either buy or sell in the spring of 2024, we're going to get you set up, and you're going to know exactly what to do and exactly how to find success in the busiest time of the year in real estate in Manitoba.
And I think that the masterclass is going to help clients out. It's going to, you know, people will say, ah, oh, we'll do it when we're ready. Like you mentioned, like, well, you know, we're not ready yet. We don't want to buy yet. But I'll put it this way. If you do it now and you listen to our pods and you talk to us, the transaction, the whole process, whenever you do buy, will be a lot less stressful. And so my number one thing that I tell clients is, I know it's a little bit of homework right now, but let's get it done now before you're in the stress of a bidding situation. Let's get that T4, a recent pay stub. Let's get your recent mortgage statement so I can see what we're working with. Let's talk to Tyler about what he thinks your home ballpark would sell for. And now let's look at what we can pre-approve you for on your purchase. Let's walk through all the guidelines, the timelines on buying and selling. But yeah, Let's have everything backed up. And you'll say, oh, Paul, but my pay stub and my job letter and my bank statement, like, it's going to be mute or useless in 4 months. No, what happens is if you buy really quickly, you all of a sudden, March 18th, you come out of the woodwork and you're like, I just bought a home. Well, I'll still send in the stuff that's 3 months old. I'll send to the new lender, hey, like, here's the PaySub T4 job letter from 3 months ago. Let's work with that. And as we get new documents in the next couple of days, we'll send those in. But that gives you a jump start where I can maybe get you approved in a day or two, pending you getting a new pay stub. But it'll make it a lot less stressful versus if you wait till March 18th to talk to us. Well, now we got to have all those conversations. We have to scramble for all your documents, and then you need 4 days, you know, 5 days, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, we won't get into it all right now, but that's going to be a lot of the theme, is getting yourself like the pre-planning. Yep. And if you've ever watched my buyer's masterclass that I have on my website, that episode is the longest one for a reason, because there, like, that is where you will succeed or fail in mm-hmm. the spring market. Like, getting your dream house during that time if you want to be the one that wins that bidding war, it all comes down to having everything set up ahead of time, because questions are going to get thrown at you from the listing agent that you need to be able to answer. You're going to have to be able to make decisions very, very quickly. So having your financing and all that stuff lined up ahead of time will help you do that. So very exciting couple episodes coming up, but looking forward to the first few episodes of 2024 and getting everybody up to speed so they can buy lots of houses.
Yeah, love it. It's been fun so far. Thanks to everyone for the comments, for the questions. Feel free to reach out to us anytime with things you want to hear about, and just feedback for us, you know, and how we can make it a better pod. But it's been a blast, been a great year. And I think 2024 is going to be a really good year for Canadian real estate. I think, well, we could talk in season two, but I think things are going to go really well this spring. I think we're going to see a lot of activity, and we're here to help. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Absolutely. I will reiterate those same things. Yeah, feedback is always appreciated. If you got ideas or things that you guys want to hear about, definitely send them in, and we will put them on our little whiteboard of pod ideas. So thanks everyone for tuning in. That was episode 9, I think. End of season 1. And we're on to bigger and better things. Happy New Year, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, talk soon.